Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here. It's going to be a tough day. We had something happen before the show. It's irrelevant to the actual show, but it's really funny. So I was trying to figure out a way to say Thunder and Lightning like that. I couldn't make it work in my head. This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here and starting your 4th of July weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our service. Stop looking at me. Service minimum and out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville or Tupelo, it's really easy. Just head over to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Get it delivered right to your door. You can enjoy it each and every morning. strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
it is what's for dinner, and the 4th of July is now upon us. Your cookouts, may they be great and make beef the star of the show. If you're cooking out on this Saturday to celebrate 250 years of the greatest country that's ever existed, make sure that beef is on the menu. Everybody will, you know, George Washington, Abe Lincoln, all those guys, big beef guys, all of them. I don't know if you knew that or not.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Beef, it's what's for dinner. It's what's for America. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything Mississippi State, maroon and white, Bulldogs, whatever it is, you've got it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, filled by the half shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Again, we're a few months away. I guess we're a little bit under 2 months now for the start of the college football season. Get prepared. Be ready for the trip to College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to a banker that knows you by name, that treats you with respect, that isn't this, you're not just another number to them. That's what you get at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location, let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Let's start it up. The NBA Minute. I was on air yesterday when the Jaylen Brown trade happened. And, like, we were going to commercial. I was like, ooh, big trade, big trade. And Borky is a Pelicans fan. And he thought Jaylen Brown might have a chance to go to New Orleans. And he was so mad. He was like, we don't do anything. And
he might have been the only person on the planet to think
he was just hopeful that they could put something out. The Celtics have completely crashed the plane. So that makes me
– for no reason.
That makes me so happy.
For no reason.
They traded the second – a top 15 player in the league – for a salary dump. They got some picks that aren't going to be worth anything.
Stupid.
They're stupid.
Dumb trade.
On a day where, like, the Lakers made all these moves and they're trying to build around Luka and put together a team that fits what he wants to do, the Celtics just they threw the white flag up. I couldn't believe it. An inexplicable trade.
He was the finals MVP a little bit than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Oh, I'm all for it. I texted our buddy Sokolov, who's a big Sixers guy, you know, and I was like, John, what? And he's like, I'm hyperventilating.
They're in the LeBron race, too.
They are. That would be unbelievable.
They would easily.
Maxi, Edgecombe, Jaylen Brown, and LeBron, that's your favorite. They're the favorite.
Well, Embiid.
Oh, I forgot about Embiid. Forgot about Embiid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's
three guys starting for Team USA?
If healthy, that's a team that can challenge the Spurs and the Thunder in the West. I know the Knicks
challenge the Sixers if that's the case. If they get LeBron.
The Sixers are who we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Thunder and them, they're going to have to.
Oh, I have to go. You're saying the other way around. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's bona fide the best team.
You're not
in the
wrong. I think that move yesterday, LeBron has to at least think about it, right?
Oh, he's definitely thinking about it.
All right. That's the NBA Minute. As always, we appreciate you guys sticking around for that. It's time to go to class, young man. First off, have you done your who are the four?
Oh, I don't know the four, but molds.
You're gonna fail this class. You're aware of that, right? You're gonna fail this class, sir.
We're at the beginning of the semester.
We're halfway through the semester. We're on a defense today.
Oh, yeah, we did the offensive line
Yes.
stuff. Yeah, I've only missed one class. It's okay.
It's a big class.
Big class.
All of my classes are important, Mr. Barone. The next time you sit in front of me, you better be able to tell me the four wide receivers I talked about on that podcast.
Okay.
All right? That's your last chance.
I just kind of
You've been a generous man thus far.
I kind of just did some research, and I guess that wasn't enough, so.
You did some research. There's a podcast. Just
Yeah.
fast forward. Play it at 2x speed. Hello, the thunder and lightning. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Goodness gracious. This kid, y'all. This kid. He's pushing my buttons. He's trying my patience, y'all.
Sure.
Okay.
Don't ask me how to say.
No. Don't worry about that. No. You're so lucky. You're so lucky that didn't happen on air. God, I would have. The podcast would have literally been 8 minutes of me just cackling if that had happened on air. All right, so let's go to class today. Today we're talking about the defensive line. The defensive line and the cornerback position, I have an embarrassment of riches to work with here. I got a lot of guys to pick from. So, I mean, narrowing it down, I got the four starters and I got four honorable mentions, and I'm leaving a ton of guys out. But we just don't have time. We don't have time for all of this. So, my first honorable mention might surprise you. Might surprise you. It's Chris Jones. Honorable mention. His college career was not that great. He has been a far,
what?
Far better pro than he was as a college player. Good college
this
player.
It's just rage bait.
It's not even rage bait. Mississippi, was it last year for Sports
I
Talk
think
Mississippi?
I know who you're going to put now.
For Sports Talk Mississippi last year, I did a top 25 players of the last 25 years in Mississippi.
Sure.
And I took a lot of heat. I made one mistake. I left off Emmanuel Forbes. He's the only guy that I left off. I had all the Ole Miss guys. I had some Southern guys, so on and so forth. And I left off Chris Jones. And a lot of people gave me grief about it. And I stand by that. His college career, I don't think he was even ever a first-team All-SEC. You know, he got drafted because he's a physical freak. He had some production. He was a good player. But is he one of the top four all-time? I say no.
Now, are you counting him as a defensive end or defensive tackle?
He was a defensive tackle at Mississippi
okay,
State.
Okay, this makes more sense now.
Right. But even if I did put him as a defensive end, he wouldn't make
I think
the
I know who you're going to put in the middle here. But,
you'll see.
Yeah.
We're doing 4-3, so you'll see where we're going. Four linemen, three.
Front,
yeah.
yeah, yeah, three linemen.
All right, so that's one. Preston Smith, longtime Packer, is on the honorable mention list for me. Three straight SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week awards his senior year. A guy, a classic Dan Mullen player, a two-star guy that nobody else wanted, and he turned him into a all-SEC, longtime pro player. That is the Dan Mullen formula at its absolute best. So Preston Smith makes an honorable mention. Pernell McPhee is an all-time honorable mention. Two straight years, 2009, 2010, one of the best defensive linemen in college football. Really, really good football player. Good pro as well. Super Bowl champion. That's a guy I would like to see come back to Mississippi State as a coach. He's at Michigan right now. I think he's their defensive line coach. Love to see him continue to get experience, and maybe in a couple years he's here, you know, if Arnett moves on or whatever, something like that. And then a name you're not going to be familiar with, but our listeners should, is Billy Jackson. Still to this day holds the single season sack record. Now, sacks were a little different in 1980. You know, they weren't as closely followed at that time, but it's 17.
Whoa.
Yeah. 17 sacks in a season
for
Billy Jackson.
What's the difference between 1980 sack and now?
They didn't really track sacks back then. Like sacks didn't
so
become.
How did he get 17 then?
Well, they've gone back and looked, kind of thing.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's. It's one of those things. I just take it on faith. 17 sacks. That's the record.
That's a lot.
Like it's. I thought it might be the SEC record. It's not. Derek Thomas has the SEC record. He had 22.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That tracks, right? Yeah. So yeah, Jackson, McPhee, Smith, and Jones are my honorable mentions. So let's go to the top four. We'll do the two ends first. Number one is Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
First round pick, two-time All-SEC, led the SEC in sacks. An absolutely dominant pass rusher. Now, he had something working in his favor. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But in a one-on-one matchup, he was almost unblockable. Ran, what, a 4.39 at the combine at 260 pounds. Just a freak athlete. in my opinion, from a just a pass rush standpoint, the greatest Mississippi State pass rusher of all time.
Wow.
Is what where I would put Montez Sweat. I'm putting, you know, talking about linebackers and everything else, but just in terms of getting after the quarterback, nobody better than Montez Sweat. On that 2018 team that had the number one defense in the country, just a fantastic football player and a really nice guy. That helps him or anything, but always enjoyed
Thanks
talking.
For props.
Always enjoyed talking to him when we had the opportunity to do so. So Montez Sweat, a name I know you're very familiar with, plays for the Bears now. Good. Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Good.
He is good,
good
though. Yes.
Good football player, and at Mississippi State, you know, a guy that before the transfer portal was really a thing, he was at Michigan State, transferred down to Colin Community College. I left Michigan State, and the state picked him up there. And, you know, he committed to state really early in the process and shut it down. He's like, that's where I'm going. And in doing so, like, he was only like a mid-3-star prospect. And because nobody came to evaluate him, they were like, he's committed to Mississippi State, and what do we care? And, I mean, as soon as he, like, his first game, you were like, wait a minute.
Who's
he was a guy that I had. I remember doing previews in that, I guess that would have been the 17 offseason, and talking about him and saying, this is a guy I've got high hopes for. He looks like a pass rusher. He looks like he's got the frame and all that. I had no idea how good he was going to be by the time he finished up at Mississippi State. And you know, the – what's the word I'm looking for here? The just the way he played, just a relentless pass rusher, a guy that every time out you knew was going to get after the quarterback at Mississippi State. 22 and a half sacks in 2 years, 30 tackles for loss in 2 years. We got a package here? What do we got here? Hand it on over. Let's see what we got. Oh, it's from our friends. All right, thank you. Thank you. Let me see it.
Open it up.
Well, I want to see how heavy is it. All right, it's just the one shirt. I think this is something that's just I asked for something. I can't show it if it's what I think it is. So. All right, that has to hide. It's not for you. Don't worry. You'll find out what it is soon enough. I'll tell you what it is when we get out of here.
Am I in that?
No, you're not in on that.
Bruh.
This is something I asked for separate. Our stuff is still coming. Don't worry.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, yeah. So in 2 years at Mississippi State, 105 tackles, 30 for loss, 22 and a half sacks. Boom. Take it. All right. So you know Montez Sweat. You're not going to know the next guy. So we have to learn about him. His name is Jimmy Webb. 1974, 10th pick in the NFL draft from the Denver Broncos. Mississippi State has had three consensus All-American football players ever. Talking about every team named them a first-team All-American.
Yeah.
He is one of them. So he's on the list.
Who are the other two?
We'll talk about them in a couple weeks.
Okay.
So Jimmy Webb was on that Sun Bowl team, 1975. That was like one of the best Mississippi State teams of all time. Member of the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame, as you can probably guess. His senior year at Mississippi State, at the stats, I had him pulled up right here. Yeah, led the team to a 9-3 record. Are those his NFL stats or his college stats? Oh, here we go. I knew I had it. In his senior year season, 90 tackles, 6 sacks, and batted down 4 passes at the line of scrimmage. Again, they just didn't track a lot of this stuff, like tackles for loss and QB hurries. Mm-hmm. Didn't exist back then. But Jimmy Webb is a guy that, you know, I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple years ago when he was inducted into the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame. And a true bulldog, a guy that, you know, now he's a Wagyu beef farmer. So I wish we were better friends.
Yeah.
To be totally honest with you. But, you know, when you talk about the 70s, if you're putting together like an all 70s team, he might be the first pick. He might be the guy that, you know, for that decade might have been the greatest bulldog of them all.
Wow.
So Jimmy Webb is our other defensive end. Now we're going to go in the middle. You probably can guess who these two guys are.
Yeah, easy.
Yes. Is,
yeah.
So do you want to tell me? You want to, yeah. Mr. Barone, do you have an idea?
Can we name both of them?
Yeah, name them both.
Jeffrey Simmons and Fletcher Cox.
You got it.
Yeah.
That's who we're putting in the middle here. We're talking about two first round picks. I've said this a lot of times about Jeff Simmons, that obviously he had the off-the-field incident that happened prior to his first year at Mississippi State. He's a guy that, you know, State didn't have to give him a second chance. And the one thing that you know for a fact, that all these fans of schools at Ole Miss and Alabama who were like, they shouldn't let him play at Mississippi State. If State had released him, they would have all recruited him.
1,000%.
We were 1,000%. I have a fun story about Jeff Simmons. I'll tell you in a minute. But he's a guy who took full advantage of his second chance. Has never had a day of trouble, to my knowledge, since that day. Not even a parking ticket at Mississippi State. To me, Jeff Simmons may be the greatest player in Mississippi State history, period. If you said rank him or Dak, I would put Simmons ahead of Dak.
Wow.
In terms of just how good a football player they were. Montez Sweat, the reason he had so many one-on-ones is because you could
–
every offensive coordinator started with circling Jeffrey Simmons and like, we got to at least have two. We got to at least have two. And sometimes he would take a triple team. And he could defeat it still.
Have you seen his Noxby tape?
It's ridiculous.
It's insane.
It's absolutely
ridiculous.
He's
literally like throwing guys like the side.
Maybe, like, you know, you meet football players, you get to shake their hands, right? I've shaken hands with all the guys on this list, right?
I shook his hand before.
It's like shaking hands with a bear.
Yeah.
And he's just so massive and strong. Just an absolutely dominant football player for Mississippi State. And easily, in my opinion, if you made me rank these four guys, he's number one. He's number one to me. Jeff Simmons is just an all-time great at Mississippi State.
Really, really nice guy too.
Incredibly nice guy off the field. He was a senior in 20. I guess he was a junior in 2018. My job was a little different. I wasn't so much every day on the radio doing 3 hours a day. I was more focused on Mississippi State, and I was more like a beat writer who was on a radio show.
Sure.
And so I would go to all the player availabilities, and they were different back then. They would send up a couple of guys every week, and then you could request guys. Simmons always came up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to him 30 times and couldn't every time. Professional, nice guy, answered your questions, could have been better. I've always said this about Simmons. I was going back to what I forgot about this, but he was the 18th pick of the draft. I think that had he not had the off the field problem, and then you remember going into the draft, he tore his ACL like while he was training. I think if he had been fully healthy and had not had the off the field, he might have been the first pick.
Yeah, that's
how talented a football player he is. And now he's the highest paid defensive lineman in NFL history.
Yeah.
Prior to that, the highest paid defensive lineman in NFL history was Fletcher Cox, who was really the first, you know, committed to Sylvester Croom, but signed with Dan Mullen. And he was like the first, like, big time, you know, recruit. That recruiting class was the first time Mississippi State had signed some 4-star guys in quite some time. You know, like had put together a good nucleus in the state of Mississippi. Fletcher Cox, 3 years, again, just a difference maker on the defensive line. You know, and that's when you have a difference maker on the defensive line, it is so.
Pass rush can ruin any offense. It doesn't matter what you have.
Or just somebody you've got to account for. On every play. Every play, you're like, look, if we're not blocking him, he's going to ruin it. And in some cases, like, we got to have a double team there. We can't just go one-on-one. Fletcher Cox was that kind of guy. 114 tackles, 24.5 for a loss, and 7.5 sacks. His junior year, his last year at Mississippi State, 56 tackles, 14.5 for a loss, 5 sacks. Had the block field goal in the Music City Bowl. Just an unbelievable athlete. Was picked, number 12 overall by the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, a Mississippi guy, Yazoo City, just a monster. And, you know, played on defense with a lot of talent around him. You know, K.J. Wright played with him. Pernell McPhee played with him. Jonathan Banks was out there in the secondary. A lot of great guys, but he stood above all of those guys. Just a monstrously good football player. So, if you told me right now I could go to war and I got these four guys, you know, on the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna feel real good. And I'm just telling you right now, with that group right there
would match up with anybody.
I'll take Alabama. I'll take on Alabama. I'll take on Auburn. I'll take on LSU. I don't care. I feel absolutely.
They would match up with literally any.
I'm bringing Chris Jones off the bench.
Yeah.
With this, so
you rotate him in.
I mean, if I'm rotating in Pernell McPhee and Chris Jones, we're good. We're good. And, you know, this conversation is kind of why these past few weeks we've talked about Mississippi State and the defensive line. And I know they picked up the kid yesterday from Louisiana that we talked about. But like, it used to be every year, like, oh, there's a 4 or 5 star defensive lineman in the state of Mississippi. Know where he's going. And he would come here and he would turn into an even bigger monster. And then he'd go to the NFL and become an even bigger monster. And so state needs, that's, you know, that's how you build success, is going to get those
All they
guys.
need is a year or two of good defensive play,
If
though,
they could get that would be great.
and
We'll
now
see
we
what
got our
happens this
net.
year. But let me know if you disagree. Jeff Simmons, Fletcher Cox, Jimmy Webb, Montez Sweat. That's your all-time Mississippi State defensive line. All right, let's move into an opponent preview. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food, the place to find the fancy sandwich. The Older Brother, I haven't been talking about it enough. What a great place to go eat that
I
is.
need to go back there.
You do? We need, let's go.
Last time I went was with you.
Yeah, let's say the say less. Just text me one. This is something you don't do. You got to text me. Just be like, hey, let's go grab
Text you
lunch.
every single day, Brian.
You never text me, let's grab lunch.
You never text me, Carlo, let's get a beer.
I don't ever go get a beer. I have to be asked to go get a beer. You're never gonna just be, it's never gonna be like, I'm going to go
You
get a
could
beer if you want
ask
to come
me to
with.
get a beer.
I don't ever go get a beer.
Me neither.
Well, I'm just saying.
I get asked to go get beers, and then I go get beers.
Well, we're at an impasse.
Sometimes I have to ask Siri to ask me to get a beer,
Well,
and
I
then I'll
won't.
go get a beer.
I see what you're doing there. You're like, she asked. We'll get lunch next week. We'll do that.
Sure.
All right. And we'll do it at the Older Brother.
Yeah,
All right.
I'll go back.
It's done. It's sailed. It's settled. It's done. The Older Brother, Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you are looking to buy business technology right now, Advantage Business Systems needs to be the name and the number that you call. If you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, new laptops, whatever it is, you get the product that you want. That's great. Anybody can sell it to you. Who is there for you after the sale? That's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. That's what Advantage Business Systems has been doing for 5 decades. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go to grab great Mississippi State gear. Everything you're looking for, Mississippi State, maroon and white, or in some cases, black. You can find it at Maroon & Co. They have the biggest, the best, the widest, the most unique selection here in Starkville and in the Golden Triangle. Use our promo code THUNDER15. You'll save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, if you're shopping for Mississippi State gear, there's only one place to go. That's Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden inside. Oh, did you go?
I drove by it today because I went to Baldwin. I really wanted to go, but I didn't have the time.
All right, so
But this is the first
you got a
time.
bank. Yeah,
This is the first time I've ever seen it. It's huge.
it's
Like
I can't
it's
describe it.
massive.
It's a winter wonderland. I'm just
Yeah.
telling you. Next time you got to bank a little more time. You got to figure out, like, I'm going to leave 30 minutes early so I can.
I don't know if 30 minutes will do it
It
for
will
me,
bear. You'll
Brian.
barely scratch the surface in 30 minutes, but you can at least get an idea of what we're talking about with Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. If you're looking for a John Deere mower, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has one waiting on you. Zero turn, commercial mowers, compact tractors, or the John Deere Gator. They've all got it at Scruggs. Great financing is available. Talk to their credit department. They're going to put you in the machine that you want, right for your property and right for your budget. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, you need to know the name Good Hope Land and Timber. You need to know that they are here to help you manage your land, manage your timber, manage your resources, do it sustainably, but make sure you're making the profits that you really want to. And if you're trying to buy or sell land right now, Good Hope Land and Timber can absolutely help you with that. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. 601-442-9888 or visit them online, g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. Look, you got something to say.
None. I'm just trying to plug my phone in. It's not working.
You need a charger?
No, I got it. I
You
got
got
it.
it? I got one over here. I got a new phone too
No,
recently.
my
So
phone is
like,
just it's just old and it's a pain in the butt, but it's
what
fine.
do you got?
15.
That's old.
No, but
I had an
the
11
charging
a month
port,
ago.
you gotta plug it in like six times because it
That's
doesn't.
because yeah, that was what was going on with mine.
Yeah.
So I was just finally just like, I gotta change up here.
We're good now though. We're good.
Our friends in the group text that I sent,
Oh
I just got
no.
to quote that Indiana education is what it
Who
says.
said that?
It doesn't matter
That
who
better
sent
be
it.
Steph.
It wasn't. Don't worry
That
about all that.
that Robbie Donahoe?
The Donahoe's not that
Okay, because
guy.
I know he's a Purdue
He is
guy.
a Purdue guy. He's a Boilermaker.
What's wrong with that?
A lot.
I'll take your word for it. All right. Opponent preview time. Let's talk about Vanderbilt. We'll start with the interview. Aria Gerson of the Nashville Tennessean joined me earlier today to give us a look at, kind of the new look Commodores, and to talk about the Brady Belichick thing that's going to go on there this season with, now that Pavia is gone, was it just Pavia, or does Clark Lee actually have a program that can sustain success? All of our interviews, as you know, are brought to you by our friends over at Alora Modern Wellness, who really want you to come and try the Escape Robot Massage. And I know it sounds weird. I know it does. And trust me, when I was going in there, thought it was a little weird myself. But coming out, man, it does a good job. And, if you've got back pain, shoulder pain, leg pain, Alora Modern Wellness, the Escape Massage, or any of their other great services might be what you need to get yourself feeling better and put you on the road to recovery. Go to their website, aloramodernwellness.com. You can book your services and appointments right there, or you can call them at 662-268-9255. Alora Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Aria Gerson of the Nashville Tennessean. We'll talk about the Commodores coming to Starkville in mid-November. Aria Gerson joins us from the Tennessean up there in Nashville, covers Commodore football, baseball. By the way, I want to give you a shout-out. Your tweet about the war for all of the transfer, that was really good information, good reporting there. I was like, look at that. I was like, she did a lot of work on this. So that was really cool.
Thank you.
Let's talk football, though. And I feel like we got like a little mini Belichick-Brady thing going to happen here with Vanderbilt. The last 2 years, they've been really good. Clark Lee has done a good job there, but I think a lot of people want to give the credit to Pavia. If it is the coach side of things and it's Clark Lee, why is that? Why is this program going to continue to be successful now that Diego Pavia is gone?
Yeah, well, I think it's impossible to not take a little bit of a setback post-Pavia, but I do believe that Vanderbilt can continue to make it to bowl games at the very least with Clark Lee. And I think that having those 2 years of success with Diego Pavia has given Vanderbilt a proof of concept. It's no longer seen as being, oh, this is like the worst program in the SEC. Nobody wants to go there. It's now seen as kind of almost a cool place to be. So there's more recruits that want to go there. They don't have to overpay for transfers anymore. The first offseason when Pavia came in, they were having to pay transfers more than what they were worth because otherwise they didn't want to go to Vanderbilt. That's no longer the case. Their recruiting has improved. They're getting more local talent to stay home. Kids from Nashville are wanting to go to Vanderbilt. And I think that's a key for any college football program, especially one in the SEC, is to get local talent to stay home. They've been smart with the transfer portal in terms of, having kind of a really unique offensive system and getting players that kind of fit that system. So while I don't think that they will win 10 games again in 2026, I do think that that's not a program that's going to go away, and they're not going to go back to being in the cellar of the SEC.
And you mentioned recruits, and obviously when we talk about Vanderbilt this year, we have to kind of start the discussion with Jared Curtis. I guess the first question is, he is going to be the starting quarterback, right?
I believe so. They haven't officially named it, but I have a hard time seeing him not being the starting quarterback.
So the question becomes, what kind of athlete is this kid going to be? We think about these last couple of years with Pavia. He made so many, outrageous plays. Is this guy more of a, a traditional quarterback, or does he have that athleticism and I guess that flair for the dramatic that Pavia did?
Yeah, so Jared Curtis, think about Jared Curtis. Pavia is small. Jared Curtis is big. So he can run. But, when you look at Jared Curtis, who's 6'3 and 230 pounds, his style as a runner is more of kind of like a physical, like a bruiser, more than like Pavia, who was more of a dancing away from contact type of guy. You kind of have to be smaller to be that type of runner. So Curtis can run, but he's a different sort of runner than what Pavia was. But Curtis can really throw the ball. He's got a great arm strength. Everyone says it's like NFL arm talent. I don't know if the consistency is going to be there immediately because it's not with a lot of true freshmen, but the arm talent is there and the physicality is there, and it's definitely a different style of play from what Pavia had. I don't see Curtis being somebody who's going to, do that thing where he scrambles around for 20 seconds, escapes three tackles, that Pavia did. But Curtis could throw the ball, 40 yards downfield with ease. So it's just a different type of skill set compared to what Pavia had, in my opinion. But I think it's one that could be almost as fun to watch, just in a different way.
Outside of Pavia, I think the most crucial guy for the Commodores replace is Eli Stowers. What a fantastic tight end he was over the past couple of years, and just a real weapon in this offense. Is the tight end going to be have as big a role without Stowers this year for the Commodores?
I think it will probably not have as big of a role. Stowers is pretty impossible to replace, and they brought in multiple tight ends from the portal, several intriguing options. They brought in a Division II transfer. They brought in a guy who they're trying to convert from quarterback to tight end, which is the same thing that Stowers did.
Yeah.
Maybe some of those guys really hit, and maybe, you find your next Stowers, because Stowers wasn't, he was a quarterback before he was a tight end. So he wasn't necessarily seen as like, oh, this is the best guy in the portal when he transferred. But, I do think naturally they're probably going to focus a little less on tight ends than they did a year ago, especially in the receiving game. Vandy likes to run two tight end sets where one tight end is a blocker and one is a receiver. I think they'll still continue to have tight ends involved as blockers. That's a really important part of their scheme. But probably more of the targets will go to receivers compared to tight ends, just without Sowers.
And then, from the receiver position, bringing back Junior Sherrill is obviously a big piece for the Commodores. But on either side of him, at those perimeter wide receivers, not a lot of proven production there. Who's going to step up and be that next guy?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it's not immediately clear for us right now either. A lot of guys kind of sat out the spring a little bit and weren't, heavily involved to kind of avoid injury. But I think that Tristan Brown, he's a third-year player. I think that he could end up having a much bigger role. I think that Owen Cabell, who's a freshman who was committed to Alabama, Vandy flipped him from Alabama on signing day. He's a local player. I think he could have a big role. And for, a bigger tight end, Ja'Cory Thomas, who transferred from Old Dominion, is probably their top transfer this year. So he's kind of a bigger, more physical receiver. And then another name to watch is Bryson Coleman, who is 6'5". And he was a former tight end, and he was injured a lot and didn't really see the field his first couple years. They moved him to receiver, and I'm interested to see how that goes, because that might be a more natural fit for him, since he kind of lacked the physicality for tight end and was, like I said, had trouble staying healthy. So that might be somebody who could contribute if he's able to get the injuries behind him.
Defense, obviously, is Clark Lee's bread and butter, and has been, going back to his days at Notre Dame. This is a defense that returns a lot of production from a season ago. How good can this defense be for the Commodores?
Yeah, I think the defense will be improved from a year ago. They returned a lot of players. I think in Clark Lee's whole tenure, it's really been the linebackers that have kind of been the heart and soul of the defense. And they have Brian Longwell back, who was one of their most used linebackers a year ago. They have Nick Rinaldi back, who's kind of a pass rushing specialist. They have Bryce Cowan back, who's always had a really high upside. And, they've added some good pieces in the portal. I think the most intriguing piece they added in the portal was Ricardo Jones, who was a safety at Clemson, who was a third team all ACC selection a year ago. So he's kind of a player that has that sort of high level experience that Vanderbilt often hasn't had on their defense. And the safeties were an issue at times last year, where they struggled sometimes with tackling. They allowed a lot of big plays, and I think that this could help with that. I also think that getting Issa Wataha back, he's their nose tackle, has huge size. He's listed as 6'7", 315 pounds, and has always had a lot of potential, but he missed almost all of last season because he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's a fifth-year player, and now that he's healthy, I think he could really make a big impact on the defensive line, and the defensive line returns a lot of their players as well. So I definitely think it's a defense that could be improved from last year.
On September the 19th, that the college football world is going to be focused on Oxford, Mississippi when they play LSU. But that's a big day for Vanderbilt. They play NC State. They host them there in Nashville. And is that the game where we're going to find out what this Vanderbilt team really is? Week three, are we going to know, yes, they can continue to be successful, or no, they've taken a step back?
Potentially, I think that, you know, being able to beat a team like NC State at home is really important for Vanderbilt this year. But I also think that, you know, there's just so much volatility now in college football scheduling. Like last year, people thought that Vanderbilt had like the most difficult schedule that has ever been created. When you looked at their SEC schedule like a year in advance. And then what it turned out to be is that it actually kind of was not difficult enough because part of the reason they didn't make the CFP was because they only had two teams on their schedule, their SEC schedule, that were like legitimate contenders, and they lost to both of them. And every other team on their schedule was no better than like 8-4. And so that was not what people thought of their schedule, you know, beforehand. So if they lose to NC State, I'm not saying that like they have no chance of making a bowl game because we don't really know how these schedules shake out. And Vanderbilt in 2024, they lost to Georgia State, and then they still made it to a bowl game. They still beat Alabama. So I don't think that that is the inflection point per se, but I do think that if they put up a really good performance against NC State and they maybe blow out NC State the way that they kind of blew out Virginia Tech last year, then that would be a really good sign as far as how good they're going to be going forward.
Who's a player we haven't mentioned yet that you've got your eye on for Vanderbilt this year that could be a big factor for them?
Yeah, so this is kind of a deep cut, but Clinton
Bring it, yeah.
Azabuike, he's
Okay.
an offensive lineman and he has not played for Vanderbilt. He transferred last year from Northern Arizona, which is an FCS school. But the idea is that he was kind of a developmental guy who could play a bigger role this year. He's 6'8 and 310 pounds, and he's kind of newer to football. He's from Lagos, Nigeria. And if he works out as like an offensive lineman, you know, Vandy's built their offensive line usually on like graduate transfers, and they're players that are like pretty good, but maybe don't have a ton of upside, don't have that kind of like future NFL player type of upside. And I think that he does have that kind of upside. It's just a matter that we have not seen him play at all at Vanderbilt or in the SEC. That's somebody, but if that's a player that works out, it could kind of take their offensive line to a new level, in my opinion.
That is a deep cut. You did good on that one. I had to search the depth chart. Like, where's this guy? Okay, we'll see how it goes. Arya, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much, and we'll see you down the road. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So, which is it, Carlo? Is it Belichick or is it Brady? Was Pavia the reason that Vanderbilt's had all the success the last 2 years, or has Clark Lee built a program that we believe can be sustainable? And when we talk about it long term, they can continue to win, and when they come here to Starkville in mid-November, that's a team Mississippi State should be worried about.
I think State's going to beat them.
Okay.
I think this is more of a Brady thing,
I tend
and
to
I
agree.
really don't like putting Diego Pava and Tom Brady in the same sentence. But
Well, I mean, it's just an analogy.
I mean, he for as good as they were last year, he was a Heisman finalist. So you're not going to get that every year out of your quarterback. And for them to almost make the playoffs with that, I don't see it continuing. I don't think Clark Lee's a bad coach by any means. I just don't think they're level of success they've had the last 2 years with Pavia, you know, beating Alabama and then, you know, crying their way to almost a playoff spot that didn't happen. It wasn't close. I don't think that's going to happen again. I think they're going to be more of a 500 team, whether that's 7-5, 6-6, or 5-7. That's what I think. I think Clark Lee will get them some wins. They have a nice freshman quarterback, but probably have some bumps in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that's something I was wanting to talk about. Like, if I you want to be playing Vanderbilt like before mid-October,
Yeah.
because by mid-October, this kid who is super talented, right? This is one of the top high school quarterbacks in the country. They flipped him from Georgia, which is just an outrageous sentence to
You it
say.
would never happen
Vanderbilt flipped
2 years ago.
nation's top quarterback from Georgia. It's like a Mad Lib almost. So, do you know what a Mad Lib is?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Sure.
Hold on.
No, it's a Mad Lib.
What is it?
Like it's an anomaly. You're trying, man.
You don't even know what it is. You don't know what a Mad Lib is.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't happen.
That's not what a Mad Lib is.
Okay, then what's a Mad
A
Lib?
Mad Lib is like a kid's thing where they give you a paragraph and there's a bunch of blanks in there and you have to fill it in. So like I would tell you, all right, give me a verb. Give me all
Oh,
right,
yeah.
give me a noun, give me an
Okay.
adjective.
I've
And then
done those.
I read
I didn't know what they're called, I guess.
That counts. That counts against you, I'm afraid.
Sure.
Sorry. I'm sorry to tell you.
Guys, he got scared because I got tired. And
I haven't. All I do is make the reference and see if you get it. I don't go out of my way for this.
You know, at the beginning of this, that was one of the things we were worried about. And to be tied,
you're not bad.
Not bad.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
A little bit. A little bit. All right. Anyway, it's like a Mad Lib, though. It's like I said, name a college football program, Vanderbilt. Give me a number, 5. Give me a football position, quarterback. Give me another college, Georgia. Okay. Vanderbilt flipped a 5-star quarterback from Georgia. You'd never say that out loud.
No, never.
But that's where we are now. They do return a great receiver in Junior Sherrill. They return their leading rusher from a season ago. They do have to replace Eli Stowers, who's one of the best tight ends in college football these past couple of years. Defensively, they bring a ton back. And yet, I tend to agree with you that I think we've watched a Johnny Manziel style play.
I was thinking about that.
Like that's what Pavio, even down to the attitude.
Yeah.
The lack of humility, shall we say?
Yeah.
I think he just kind of made that program. And you look at what A&M was after he left, after Manziel left, they were pretty much a consistent like 7-8 win team. Well, Vandy, if they regress, they are going to be a losing team. And that's just the way I have to look at it. So if I'm in agreement with you when we talk about Mississippi State, that I think State will win that football game when we get to mid-November. You know, if you can't beat Vanderbilt at home, you probably, I mean, at that point, it might be interim coach Philip Montgomery or something like that. So
agreed.
That's a must-win game. Circle that down. Write it down right now as Mississippi State. That is a must-win game for Jeff Lebby. He has to beat Vanderbilt.
Auburn as well, probably.
We'll talk about that next week. Way to set it up. Way to segue. You got it. He's getting there, folks. He's getting there. Yeah, we'll talk about Auburn.
Yet no
Auburn.
Points.
Well, no, because there's
it's
no
not reference. A reference.
There's not a reference.
Just saying, though.
But that said, we do have Auburn next week as our opponent preview. All right, before we get out of here, we got to talk about America, specifically the United States men's national team. I watched that whole game. First off, I thought there were two really soft
offsides calls?
No. Decisions yesterday.
Oh.
In the Belgium-Senegal game, the penalty at the end of the game that gave Belgium the win,
yeah.
I thought that was a soft decision. And then the red card on Balogun, it's a foul. It might even be a yellow card.
It's definitely
never
yellow.
A red. It's never, ever a red.
No.
Even the most, diva football, even Ronaldo would be like, eh. No.
Messi had the same thing happen.
Yeah.
And they gave him a yellow.
Well, one guy's messy and one guy isn't. I mean,
but that
I know. I agree.
Not
I agree.
How it should be. I understand the.
You know that they're that the same way LeBron gets calls that other people don't.
Yeah,
the same way
I
Jordan
get it,
did.
It's like
Brady. All of these guys, But that said, the Belgians have a team that is loaded with some really good players. You know, Trossard starts for Arsenal. Lukaku is one of the best strikers in Serie A. De Bruyne may be the best midfielder in Premier League history. Now he's in Napoli as his career starts to wind down. This is like the last gasp of their golden generation. You know, Eden Hazard has been retired. This is kind of like if they don't win here, then that generation of guys they have with Courtois and goal, that they miss their window. So I'll be interested to see how it goes. The United States can win this game. I don't know if they'll be favored. It may be a very, very close, like -150, +125 kind of thing. And either team could be favored. We'll see. Home field certainly doesn't hurt the Americans. But this is a fun team to watch. I'll say that. They have captured Americans into soccer as much as any team I've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, did you watch the entire game yesterday? The mm-hmm. Country Roads thing after where the announcers were just silent.
Fantastic.
Was awesome.
Yeah. That's a college football thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you make
that reminded
sports
me of,
happen for Americans is to make it like college sports. Like the NFL is its own thing. The NBA is its own thing. You can't recreate that. But if you're going to try to get people, you got to tug on the heartstrings. That's what college sports does more than anything else.
It reminded me of the it was either super regional or regional when West Virginia had, and mm-hmm. everyone was doing the
country. Right, that's exactly. It was super regional.
They played that weird Freebird remix every time they scored. Yeah. I was for it. It's just funny.
Freebird is the new national anthem at this point. The hockey team did that for us. So,
shout out Noah.
So Monday, is that right? Monday against the Belgians, I believe that's correct.
That's correct.
They're in the gravy stage of this though. Like if they don't win, it's not that big a deal. Like they had a great run; it was fun.
It's only the second time they've been in this round.
Right, that's right. So I think, and don't underestimate Pochettino. Having a guy who's coached at the highest level, who's coaching the Champions League, he got Tottenham to the Champions League. That's almost as great an accomplishment as what Signetti did. I'll just put it that way. So he is a really good coach, and the style he likes to play, I see it with what the Americans are doing. So he's got his style in place, and we'll see what happens without Balogun. That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah,
but
that will be tough.
We'll see what happens. All right, everybody, enjoy your fourth. Be safe. Don't keep the fireworks in your hand. Let's start the weekend with 10 fingers. Let's finish the weekend with 10 fingers. Unless you're Bob Karskadden, then you start with 8 and you finish with 8. Either way, just keep your hands safe. Enjoy your cookouts. Enjoy the weekend, and enjoy living in the greatest country on this or any other planet, the United States of America. For Carlo Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk. This is it.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.